There we go. Matthew chapter 19. We'll begin our reading in verse 13. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the two words in verse number 13. They're used again in verse 14. It's the two words, little children. Little children. Let's pray together and I'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the word of God that speaks to our hearts. Thank you, Lord God, that as we travel through books together that we preach as we get to things. And I feel like this is so appropriate for this message, for this hour, the passage that we've come to in preparation for Gift Sunday. May the will of God be done. Forgive our sins. Help us to be clean. Please, I need you tonight. Forgive me for hindering it at all. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 to 15. The parallel passages are Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, and Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Now, as we approach these verses before us tonight, we see in the opening 12 verses of this chapter, we see the Lord healing people in the opening two verses, and then he begins to speak in direct terminology about marriage and divorce. Now, you may think I'm skipping that. I'm not skipping that because I've already dealt with it in Matthew chapter 5. I've already dealt with the marriage and divorce earlier in this book. And in that particular message, I alluded to Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 down to verse number 12. So we've already preached on those topics that the Lord was dealing with. So instead of you thinking that I just bypassed a bullet there, I didn't bypass a bullet. I've already preached on it. You can go back and get it if you want to go back and get it. Now, because of this, I've decided to move ahead now to verses 13 to 16, which speaks about a very important topic to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that topic is little children. I thought it was so appropriate. The Lord just has me right where He wants me to be preaching through books of the Bible. It's amazing how He does that. It really is. I mean, here we are the Wednesday night before Gift Sunday and preaching through Matthew, we've come to the passage on how important children are to Him. Now, that's just not coincidence, friends. That's God using His Word. And let me say loud and clear that the song has been written and sung correctly that Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. In our text, we see these little children on display for us. And as we read these three verses, there's a point that comes out under every verse. This is a simple message. But yet it should challenge us about how important little kids are to Jesus. I'm glad that the Lord loves little children. He really does. He loves kids. And there is something drastically wrong with somebody who cannot stand children. There's something drastically wrong with somebody like that. I mean, there's something wrong with somebody who doesn't love kids. I'm talking about who is approachable and loves them and wants God's best for them, you see. We're going to look at little children tonight. And I'm asking God to help me preach through the entire Word of God. Not tonight, friends. Just eventually. That being the case, if He answers that prayer, you're stuck with me for a long time. Now, if you don't want Him to answer that prayer, you just mind your own business, okay? Because I hope the Lord answers that prayer for me. We've come to this portion of Scripture. Three things about little children. Simple. It's really so simple, it's almost embarrassing. But number one, little children, first of all, we see them brought to Jesus. We see them brought to Jesus. You see this in verse number 13. Notice it. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them. Now the first thing we notice about these little children is how they were brought unto the Lord. And we're not sure, and I get this, we're not sure exactly how old these children were. But I personally believe that there were different ages there. For one thing, the Bible says that it uses different Greek words for this, for these words, children here. In Matthew and Mark, he used a specific word. Then in the book of Luke, he uses another word. In the King James Bible, it's translated infants in the book of Luke. But the point of the matter is this, no matter how old these children were, infants through toddlers, whatever the case may be, this word brought here means they were led to Jesus. They were being led to the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I'm saying. What a beautiful sight this is. To go back in our mind's eye and watch this scene unfold as we see these little children, many of them who could not bring themselves, were being brought and led to him by others. Let me say this to you. It is important to bring children to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord loves children, and he desires them to be brought to him. Now, with that thought being said, let me give you two points of application under this point, brought to Jesus. Number one, under this, let parents be challenged here. Let all parents of children be challenged here to bring your kids to Christ. Now, it's time that all parents realize something. Listen to this. We are leading our children somewhere. We really are. By the way, yes, we can talk about infants. Yes, we can talk about toddlers. But I'm specifically saying, no matter how old your children are, whether they're still in the home or grown up and gone out, this point still applies here. We are leading our children somewhere. You have no, listen to me please, you cannot get out of that. You are leading your children to some place. And I'm saying, let us all be challenged here to lead our children to Christ, to bring them to Jesus Christ. You lead them by the way you live your own life. And you lead them by the words you use in front of them. And what I'm saying to you, parents, let me ask you this question. Are you bringing your children to Christ? Are you leading them to the feet of Jesus Christ? Or are you leading them somewhere else? Where are you taking your children with your words? And where are you taking your children with your actions? So we apply this first point. Little children brought to Jesus. They were taken to him. They were led to him. So many of them were carried to him. They brought their loved ones to Jesus. And in the same way, parents should be challenged with that thought. God, help my life and my actions and my words to lead my children to the feet of Jesus Christ. I want my actions and my words to be a guide, a lead. I'm talking about may by everything I say and everything I do, may it bring my children close to Jesus Christ. Secondly, under this, let's apply this to our church. Yes, let's let parents in this church be challenged. But secondly, let's apply this by letting this church be challenged to bring children to Jesus Christ. This passage challenges my heart, and I hope it challenges all of our heart, to be encouraged to instruct our children and care for them. I'm talking about at this church as much as the oldest member in the church. See, God wants the oldest member cared for, all the way down to the youngest. And what I'm saying to you, it's interesting that Luke did use the word infants. The nursery ministry is important to Jesus Christ. It is important to him. Those little babies, God loves those little things back there. I'm telling you, aren't you glad our Lord is so tender that the smallest baby, he wants them brought to him? He wants them around him. He wants to spend time with them. See, this church is to be actively bringing children to Christ. We do this in a number of ways. Our Sunday school classes. Hey, they're divided by geography, grade, and gender. And what I'm saying to you, the children, all these kind of things. Listen, every Sunday school class should be bringing children to the feet of Jesus. That doesn't mean they accept him. We hope they do, you understand? But it's not our responsibility that they accept Christ. We can't do that for them. We can't make them accept Christ, but we have the privilege to bring them to him, you see. And you bring these children to Christ in this church through Sunday school, through the nursery ministry. Hey, listen, even in the nursery ministry, little babies should have Bible scriptures told to them and quoted to them and read to them. Let me tell you something. Somebody says, well, that little baby back there, he doesn't even know how to roll over. How in the world is he going to memorize John 3:16? I'm not saying he's going to memorize it, but he ought to be hearing it. He ought to be hearing the Word of God. And what I'm saying to you is we bring them to Christ through the Sunday school, through the nursery, through the bus ministry. We go and get them so we can bring them to Jesus. The Cadets for Christ going on right now, the Cub Cadet program, the Cadets for Christ, right now while you're here, those children are in the gym and those children are in the Cub Cadet department back here close to the nursery. The nursery is going on now. All of these things that we have going on for children, children's choir, all of these things we have going on, vacation Bible school, summer camp, everything we have should have one purpose for these children. You know what it is? Bring them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. Get them to his feet and beg his blessing upon them. As we actively bring children to Christ, as they reach the age of accountability, and only God knows when that is for each child, many of them will accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Many in this room right now, we're probably saved as a child. Matter of fact, if you were saved as a child, would you raise your hand? Look at that. A majority of those here tonight were saved as a child. I was saved as a child. You, many of you, were saved as a child. There are many who get saved as a child. You may tell you why you trusted Christ as a child? Because somebody somewhere brought you to Jesus, friends. Somebody somewhere introduced you to him. Somebody carried you to him is what I'm trying to say. It's interesting that it's been said that 19 out of 20 Christians. This is not a blanket statement, but this is according to the study here. 19 out of 20 Christians were saved before the age of 24. It's interesting that among them would be people like, have you ever heard this name? Fanny Crosby. Wrote hundreds of hymns. The lady who was blinded, was it at birth, Brother Gary, that she was blinded? It was soon after birth she was blinded. God used her to write many of the hymns that you and I sing. She was saved when she was 11 years old. Jonathan Edwards, mighty servant of Jesus Christ. He was saved when he was 7 years old. Isaac Watts was 9 years old. It's been said that 90% of Christians get saved before they're 18. Think about that. See, it's time we realize the importance of children in the eyes of the King. Number one, they were brought to Jesus. Concerning children, there's a man who put it this way. Atheism looks on them as brutes. The Romans exposed their children to the wild elements. The barbarians turned their children as sacrifices. The Hindus cast their children to the crocodiles. But Christianity looks upon them as mortal creatures and leads them toward the road of salvation in heaven. Children can be led anywhere. Did you know that? They can be led anywhere. And it's time we understand the importance as a parent, just apply it to wherever you are, as a parent or as a church member. Or as both. Our duty with little children is to protect them and to lead them to Jesus. That's what our duty is. They're brought to Him. Number two, they are beckoned by Him. They're beckoned by Him. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 13, the latter part. And the disciples rebuke them. You know what that means? That means as these people were bringing these children, and more likely it was probably parents bringing their children. The Word of God's silent on this, but more likely it was parents. We're not exactly sure who it was, but these children were being brought to the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine the Lord being there, how busy He is, everything going on in His life? And the disciples see all these babies, these infants being carried, these children coming, and all they want to do is bring them to the feet of Jesus so Jesus will lay His hands upon them and bless them and pray over them. We'll get to that in a minute, what that means. These disciples see all of this, and the Bible says they rebuke them. You know what that means? It means they tried to stop them. They tried to say, He's got more important things to do. But notice what the Lord did in verse 14. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. As these people brought these little ones to the Lord, the disciples thought that the Lord would not have time for them. They tried to stop them. They thought He had more important things to do than spend time with these little children. But they were soon to find out differently. You know, the account in Mark tells us that the Lord was much displeased with this. You know what that word displeased means? It means He was grieved, He was afflicted, and He got mad. That's what it means. It means He righteously was indignant against this. This stirred His righteous anger. It was indignation. And He said to the disciples, suffer, little children. Forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the Lord was beckoning these children to come to Him. Here's the point I'm trying to say. He wanted them. He loved them. He desired to have them with Him. This is absolutely precious to me. It really is. What a touching scene. He wanted these disciples to know that they should never, now get this, He wanted them to know that they should never make a child feel that they are in the way and not important to Him. Never make a child feel you are not important. If you make them feel they're not important, they'll believe that. I'm not talking about self-ego. I'm not talking about making them think they can do anything. I'm talking about in the eyes of God, share with your child how much they mean to Jesus. You mean so much to Him that He sent Jesus Christ to die in your place. Share with these kids that He does want them. He wants them to be with Him. He desires for them to come to be close to Him. He went on to say how they're a sample of what it takes to be a child of God. Does that mean that newborn babies are born again? Is that what He's teaching? No. In the parallel accounts it says, unless you come as a little child. Somebody says, well, hey, good night, I'm not a child anymore, that rules me out. No. The key phrase is as a little child. It means in the same character as a little baby. A little baby's dependent. A little baby has faith in those who take care of them. A little baby trusts those who feeds them and nourishes them. And God is saying, I want you to come. I want you to let them. I'm beckoning for them to come. I'm opening the door for them to come because they're a picture of what a born-again child of God is to me. They're humble and they want me. And because they want me, I want them. That's beautiful, isn't it? Thinking about how the Lord loves little children. The point here is that the Lord didn't drive them away. Let me ask you a question. What would it have done to the parents of those children? And what would it have done to the children who may have been old enough to understand What would it have done to those children if they grew up and the parents told them later, I tried to get you to Jesus, but he just didn't have the time for you, sweetheart. The disciples rebuked us and he agreed with it. He was just so busy that he just didn't have time to spend for you. I know this is simple. And I know we already know this about Jesus. But does that not just warm your heart a little bit, friends? About how filled his days were, how much he had to do, how much he had to get done, how busy he was. These disciples, in my opinion, I think they were just trying to protect the Lord. Now, they didn't understand his heart here, but I don't think they were trying to be mean to these children. I think they were trying to protect his time. He just doesn't have time for this. He's so busy. He's got so many important things to do. And they see him get mad and say, I'm paraphrasing, what do you mean I don't have time for these kids? Suffer the little children to come unto me. Don't forbid them. For of such are the kingdom of heaven. This is beautiful. It touches my heart, friends. How precious little kids are to Jesus Christ. You think about these precious little ones over here in cadets. I like to try to spend time with them. I'm going to tell you a story about one of them here. John Harless, bless his heart. He's a nutcase. That boy's crazy. He broke his arm or something recently, and he's been in the cast. And on Wednesday nights, occasionally I'll go over there after this church service, and we have a knockout, drag out. I mean, it's just dodgeball city. I mean, after this service, I'll try to go over there and play dodgeball with him, and the kids just come after. I mean, it's the pastor. There he is. Big X on him. Let's get him. You know what I'm saying? Now, I know what you're going to do. You're going to come over there and watch it tonight, probably, aren't you? But it's interesting. He sat down beside me, you know, because he had that cast on, and I mean, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I'm telling you, I mean, they just wore me completely out. I was sitting down, there's sweat coming off me. John came up to me with that cast. He said, I get my cast off. I think he said in a couple weeks. In a couple weeks, that means war. I got there tonight. I walked into the gymnasium. And I walked through right there, and I'm standing there looking. I feel something on my side, and it's John. Tonight, he said, dodgeball. You know what? You think about those precious kids. God loves them so much more than we do. It's hard to imagine that God loves my children more than I do. But you know what? He does. Let me ask you a question. Parents, have you ever needed a break from your children? Have you ever needed a break from your children? You're laughing because I know the answer to that, don't you? But yet you'd die for your children, right? Amen or not? Amen or not, friends? You'd die for your children. Hey, grandparents, would you die for them little ones? Amen or not, friends? I'm not there yet. I feel like I am one, but I'm not there yet. I want you to think about how much you love them kids. You listening to me? You would let them peel the skin off your body alive if it meant saving their life. But our love is not a drop in the bucket. I mean a drop in the bucket compared to the love that Jesus Christ has for them little ones. Hard to imagine that, isn't it? It really is hard to imagine that. But it's the truth. He wanted these disciples to know something about him. He wanted to say, men, I'm never too busy for children. God's working on my heart with this too. May God help us to have the same spirit about it. Amen or not. A great German sculptor labored for 2 years on a statue of Jesus Christ. When it was completed, he called in a little child and asked her this question, who is that? In other words, he spent 2 years making it, and he called in a little girl and said, who is that? She looked at the statue for a while and then said, "He's some great man." The artist was disappointed, so he set to work again on the statue. And when he was finished this time, he called a little child back in and asked her and said, "Who is that?" And that little girl stood there in silence for a moment, looking at that statue. And she began to cry. The little child, can you see her there in your mind's eye? She burst into tears and she said this. Who? She said, "That's the one who said, 'Suffer little children to come unto me.' That's the one who said, 'Suffer little children to come unto me.'" The sculptor realized then that he had succeeded. And may I say this? We too succeed when we point people to Jesus, especially little children. Number one, they're brought to Him. Number two, they're beckoned by Him. Number three, they're blessed by Him. We see this really in the account in Mark, but I'm just going to read here in Matthew since that's where you're at. Verse 15, "And He laid His hands on them and departed." Now the parallel account in Mark says He blessed them. This story tells us that these little children were brought to Jesus, that He should put His hands on them and pray, verse number 13. Mark tells us that He took these little ones up in His arms. He put them in His arms. It's so precious. I don't know why. It's just precious to me. Here are these little ones. They're surrounding Him. Who knows? Can't you just see Him being bombarded with these little ones? And the Bible says in the book of Mark that He picked them up, put them in His arms. Right here in Matthew says He laid His hands on them. And the idea here is this. It was the custom back in this day to the Jewish people to bring people to those whom they looked upon as excelling in holiness. And they would bring their little ones to these people or even other people so those holy people would put their hands on them and bless them, pray over them, and commend them to God by their prayers. The Talmud taught Jewish parents to bring their children to the rabbis, the teachers, the leaders, for their blessings and their prayer. And the laying on of the hands in prayer was the invoking of divine blessing upon those whose hands were being laid upon them. So in all of this, we see these parents and or the others who brought these little children to Jesus. What they were doing is they were recognizing His holiness. And they were seeking His blessing upon these children. And I'm glad the Word of God tells us that the Lord Jesus, when they sought Him out, even for infants, for His blessing. Now they couldn't be saved at that age, but they wanted the blessing of God upon them. They wanted God to spend time with them. And in all of that, He took these little ones in His own arms, laid His hands upon them, blessed them, and prayed for them. In all this, we can learn that we should desire and seek the blessing of the Lord upon our children. You know what my children need more than anything? They need the Lord to pick them up, hold them in His arms, put His hands on them, and bless them. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like the Lord. And if I am, that means I'm not going to be too busy for those precious kids over there in Cadets for Christ. I'm not going to be too busy with the babies back in the nursery. I'm not going to be too busy to spend time with people who want God's best for their life. In this story, it's just in the book of Matthew as we're reading through it, we see these children being brought to the Lord. They wanted His touch, His blessing, and His prayers. Disciples rebuked them and thereby displeased Jesus, who turned around and commanded the children to be permitted to come to Him. He explained their connection to the kingdom of heaven, took them up in His arms, laid His hands on them, and blessed them. Can you see this in your mind's eye? Here's the Lord who had done so many mighty miracles. He had spent His time raising the dead, all of these other curing blinded eyes. And everybody would look at that and say, boy, that is great what He did. That is great what He did. Boy, look at that mighty miracle He did. Look at that and what He did. Look at that, look at that, look at that. And in the middle of it all, we see Him humbly taking His seat, stretching His arms out to children. And even though He's the Lord of creation, He realized He created these little ones. And He wanted them to know, no matter how young they are, that even if the mighty disciples think they're nothing, He loves them enough that He died for them. You get to see a little bit of the heart of God here. You see what I'm saying? And I end with this thought. I know it's little children. We've applied it that way. But let me say this. If you're saved, that's who you be. You're one of His little children. And the world may think they don't have time for you. But He's waiting and wants to spend time with His children. Isn't that something? Little children brought to Him, beckoned by Him, and blessed by Him. May the Lord challenge our hearts here, okay, and comfort us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You. Help us, I pray, to apply this in a way that is pleasing to You. Help us to understand the importance of this. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I want to ask you this question. Are you a little child of God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? If so, that's a great thing, and you ought to be encouraged tonight that since you're one of His children, He's never too busy for you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? He's never too busy for you. If you do not know Him as Savior, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible, share with you the gospel. Well, let me ask you this. Have you all still have children in the home? Would you raise your hand? They are still living at home. Yes, that's a lot of you. If you raise your hand, I want you to look at me just a moment. This is challenging to me, and because this message applies to me as much as it applies to you. We need to understand something. Every decision we make, every word we say, every action we do, every place we go, everything we do is leading our children. We are leading them. You are determined to lead them in the right place. You know what a parent's duty is? Bring them to Jesus. Lead them to Christ. You cannot force them to trust Him, but you can sure make sure they know who He is. Amen, friends. That's what I mean by bring them to Christ. Put them there where He can bless them, where He can talk to them, where He can invite Himself into their hearts. You see what I'm saying? Bring them to Jesus. Bow your head there just a moment. Have you all involved in leading children at this church? I'm talking to Sunday school teachers, bus workers, nursery workers. If you work with children on a regular basis in any way, shape, or form, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? That's a lot of you. If you raise your hand, I'd like you to lower it. Look right up here at me just a moment. What a responsibility. Have y'all work in the nursery? Would you raise your hand? You work in the nursery? Don't ever think that you're insignificant. It's such a blessing that the book of Luke specifically called these children infants. Precious, isn't it? If you teach a Sunday school class, you run a bus route, you drive a bus route, if you're working with children, God help our lives to be holy. God help our lives to back up our message. And God help us every Sunday, every Wednesday, whatever the case may be, whenever you're in front of your children, God help us to do an accurate job of leading those children to Christ. You have a great opportunity to do that this week. What an opportunity. What a message before Gift Sunday. That God planned that, friends. God help us with this. You know what I'd like to challenge you to do if you're a parent, or maybe you're leading children here, or maybe God's just speaking your heart. Maybe you need some time with God, but you thought He's been too busy for you and He's whispered to you, I'm not too busy for you, come to me. But I'm going to challenge everybody who feels God is in it, if God is in it, to come and say, God, for my children, whether it's your literal children at home, whether it's your children that's grown and gone, or whether it's your children on that bus route in that Sunday school class, to get on your face and beg God to put His hands on them. Glory. Wouldn't it be something if God came into every Sunday school class, picked those kids up, put them in His arms, put His hands on them, and blessed them? God help us here to see our responsibility to get the word out so kids can come to Jesus. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in a great way in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If you want to come and pray, if you can't kneel, just have a seat right there at your pew, whatever it is. Let's do business with God as He sings. Come, let's talk to God about it. Have your children, the children you lead in that Sunday school class, on that bus route, whatever it is, come, talk to God. Ask God to bless your class, to bless your route, to bless your children, to bless as you lead people to Him. Bring people to Christ.
While I am waiting, yielded and
let's sing on, Brother Gary.
Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is Thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior.
Playing through. Folks are still praying. If you're standing, I'd like you to look this way. Here's what I'm talking about. You cannot force children to trust Christ. You cannot. I'm talking about once they've reached the age of accountability. But what we can do is make sure that we are not hindering them from knowing who He is, from being brought to His feet to say, this is who this is. He's the one. You need His blessing on your life. He's the one that can save you. He's the one that can change your life. You do that in the life you live. You do that in the words you say. That's why you need to ask God, when I teach this Sunday school class, please help me say everything that's true. Help me never lead somebody astray with what I say. What an honor, really. I mean, honestly, what an honor this is. May the Lord help us to see this importance, the importance of this. From the nursery all the way up, introducing people to Jesus. Introducing people to Jesus. He's the one that made them. He's the one that can save them. And all I'm saying to you is they're gifts from God that should be given right back to Him. That's the message. Bring them to Him. Give them to Him. Let Him bless them. That's what it's about. Father, we love You and thank You for this. Challenge us as we are a workforce this week, trying to tell children all over the Tri-Cities about Gift Sunday. not so they get a gift, but Lord, so they come here, we can bring them to your feet with the gospel, and many of them can trust Christ as Savior. Please show us the importance of this. Bless, work, and move in a mighty way. Please keep your hand upon this church in Jesus' name. Amen. Reminder for all the teenagers right quick. If you ordered a sweatshirt, you can pick them up from Brother Bob's office after this service. They are here. If you will go to his office, you can pick up your sweatshirt there. Okay? God bless you. Have a great night.